Hey, welcome back for another episode of Roll Digs, the official podcast of Montana Tech Athletics. I'm Paul Panisco, and again, thanks for joining us. Hopefully everything going well on your end. This time around, we are going to talk Emmetad, as every man, every time, all day. If you know Coach Green, that is, you certainly know everything you need to know about Emmetad and kind of the new life that it has pushed into what was the Touchdown Club for Montana Tech. A group of individuals have really worked awfully hard, and this group is raising a lot of money. And I had a chance to sit down with Wacy Deegan, former offensive tackle for Montana Tech, really one of the guys that got things rolling here to bring Emmetad to life in the last couple years. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Wacy Deegan. Wace, it's good to see you.
Don't lie to me.
No, I'm serious. come on, man. I've always appreciated you. I've always loved you. I think you're just a great guy. And I will always remember you in your playing days in the pink shirt that you wore in your undershirt.
Yeah, that was just going through the closet one day, I think my freshman year, and I had a pink shirt that I didn't think I was ever going to wear. Cut the sleeves off it and used it for a practice shirt. And somehow it caught on and everybody complained about it or thought it looked weird. And so I just kept doing it for 4 years.
Yep. Would you remember what shirt it was? Like what? I don't think I ever saw the front or the back of it. What was it other than, I just remember the pink, like outside your jersey.
The original one was a tough enough to wear pink rodeo shirt I bought at a rodeo to be part of the crowd or whatever. Yep. And put it in the drawer and just looked at it forever and figured it needed a couple shirts to take up to college to cut the sleeves off of to wear during practice, and that was one of them, and just kind of caught on after that.
what were your years? When did you first come to Tech, and when did you graduate?
Fall 06, and then graduated in winter 10.
Okay. How was the recruiting process?
That was Coach Green's biggest nightmare.
Okay.
He showed up on pitcher day in Stanford. He didn't realize I was in every group and organization that the college school had to offer, so he was there for 4 hours, got to talk to me for about 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah, between meetings?
Between pitchers.
Yeah.
I was in the office talking with him, and then they'd be like, where's Wacy at? He needs to be in his pitcher, and they'd come grab me. And Coach Green still tells the joke that he spent more time recruiting me than anybody else.
Well, I mean, that's a badge of honor. You got to have that.
Yeah.
Who else was in the picture? You know, when you're in high school, was it Green or who else was kind of in the picture for you possibly playing?
Well, Northern and Western were after me pretty hard. My brother played for Northern at the time.
Okay.
He graduated with Coach Kyle Sampson and played with him. And then the Bobcats and Grizz were sending letters, and they come and visited and stuff like that. It was Tech really. I mean, we came down here on a recruiting visit. Green made the offer, and then he'd call about every 2-3 weeks. Well, Tommy Lee from Western was calling about every other day, and then Northern called a little bit, and then I told Coach Green that I'd come to Tech, and about a day later, they printed it in a paper that I was walking on with the Cats, and everybody started blowing up my phone. Well, then I showed up down here to meet with Abbott on a recruiting trip and figure out class schedule and stuff like that, and he just assumed I wasn't showing up because it was printed in the paper. I was going to the Cats, and I showed up in his office, and he goes, what are you doing here? And it's like, Coach Green sent me up here to talk to you. I guess you're my advisor. He goes, well, aren't you going to MSU? I was just like, not that I'm aware of.
What was it about Tech?
I watched him play Carroll. Oh, I think they played him 3 times in 05, right?
Yeah, they did.
So I caught him in the playoff game, and then Carroll told me I was too fat to go to college there, play football for them. They didn't have any O-linemen over 300 pounds.
Okay.
So that was out of the picture right off the bat, and I guess I watched that one.
You didn't ever look
that
good
one game, and yeah, pink and purple don't go together.
No, they don't at all.
Somehow pink and green do, but yeah, just Coach Green was on it, and he had a couple good lines. I'm not sure if they're able to go over the air.
Okay.
Basically just told me I didn't want to go to Western to be a teacher, and I didn't want to go to Northern to be a mechanic, so he goes, I don't know why you wouldn't come to Tech.
And that was the selling point?
He had a few other ones, but I don't think they're able to be aired.
What is the – I've always – there's something different about, obviously, Tech in general, but more importantly, after the fact. You know, when we start talking about, like, what was Touchdown Club at the time, now Emmitad, and that's obviously what we're going to talk about mainly. But that kind of circumnavigates into it is that there is something about Tech and the family of Tech that is different than anywhere else. Is there something you can put a finger on?
I would say the reason Tech's so successful is because Butte's probably the biggest small town in America. Like, it has the small town community vibes.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows everybody. Everybody helps everybody. You don't get that in a Billings or a Bozeman or Missoula and stuff like that. And there isn't that kind of community support.
With that said, how does that translate into Emmitad?
Me and my fat camp friend buddies, college kids that we call it fat camp. We go once a year to a trip every year and go pick a place. And each person, there's seven of us, each person gets to plan it. And the wives look more forward to it than we do, pretty much.
But uh-huh.
We just got to talking and we just said we needed to make a change. And I was talking to like Chris Whitmore and Vinny did it for, God, I think 20 years he was in charge of it and ramrodding it, and he's just busy with work and his kids in high school going to games. And COVID kind of killed a lot of stuff because we were doing the pig roast and the beef roast for one of the games, and everybody looked forward to that. And then we had COVID, and we still haven't got it back going again. But it was just one of them things. We had a home opener, and we didn't have a real great tailgate atmosphere, and we just got to talking about how we could fix that. And the biggest problem that we've always had ever since I've been helping out with Touchdown Club was funds, right?
Yep.
And we couldn't figure out, like, we basically would put a donation box, and then we started doing the football board to whatever we made off the board and the donation box, basically what we got to put out there for food and beer for the next tailgate. And we just had to figure out a way to amplify it. And you start looking around, like, the Bobcats and the Grizz have a quarterback club, and it's a yearly membership, and you get certain perks and stuff like that. Like, the Wednesday coaches call is probably the single coolest thing you can get out of Emmitad Club, as being a member of it. I mean, not every day you get to talk to the trans athletic director Steppen, and then Kyle Sampson gets on there and gives you the game of the week before, and then talks about the upcoming game and tells you all about it. You don't get that very many places.
Well, and the thing I love about that, and I don't mean to cut you off, is the coaches call. Like, it's something that Kyle really looks forward to. You know, he doesn't – you see that in a lot of places where it's almost a, hell, I have to do this kind of thing. You know, and you don't give a whole lot of information. But that's the beauty of, I think, Coach Sampson in this scenario is he's happy to tell you what's going on. You'll certainly know before, you know, the next week what's coming up and who's injured and, you know, who's playing well, that kind of thing. And he really looks forward to that coach's call, and it means a lot to him.
Yeah, and I think it's a good way for Kyle to get to meet. So he didn't go to Butte or graduate from Butte and really get to know anybody until he moved here in 2019 and started to get to meet the alumni. But we don't have that many alumni events where everybody goes to, and you get to meet everybody that you know. Like, Coach Green knew everybody because he was here for 25 years, and he'd talk to anybody if he had to.
Yep.
Coach Morale
didn't have to.
Yeah, I mean.
He'd talk to anyone.
He's the most positive guy in the world.
Period.
But then, like, Coach Morale, he was pretty social, I guess, as social as Coach Morale could be, if everybody knows him. He'd come into the tailgates after the game, and we'd have a Bud Heavy for him. We'd sit there and bullshit a little bit, and that's how we got to know him. But Coach Sampson, he was always busy on the field after the games and with family, and it's nothing against that. It's just we had to get a way to get him involved with the alumni so people could get to know him, get to meet him, and it's caught on fire.
Has it surprised you, or is this as the arc of how the Emmitad Club has gone? Is this kind of how you pictured it? It feels like once the wheels hit ground, it just took off.
Yeah, when me and Vinny and Whitmore and a few of the guys were talking about what we were going to do and how we're going to do it, and me and Vinny kind of talked, we were lucky. We're going to get 30, 40 guys, the usuals, and we'd get $40,000, $50,000, and we'd be able to fund it. And he goes, that'll probably work for a couple of years. Well, then we started going once we got off the ground and running with all the logistical stuff with the foundation. Because when we first started talking about that, clear back in December, the foundation said they didn't have the manpower to help with it. So we were going to start our own 501c3 and then do it on an individual basis away from the foundation. And then once it got closer, I think it was like April, Luke Myers called me up, and I think he talked to me. I was driving down the road, and I made it about 300 miles in that phone call conversation. But we basically just said that the foundation and the Emitad Club could work together, and that way it's stewarded, and they know a lot more of the stuff that we didn't have any idea about. So it's been a good combo to work together.
What was enrollment, if you will, for year one? How many guys did you have for year one?
89, okay. And I think we crested 160,000 total that first year.
It's incredible.
And we just blew it out of the water. I mean, we had the kid that I graduated with came into some money from an inheritance and had to go to a 501c3. And Jay Russ hit me up at like the second to last, I think it was the last home game for regular season, hit me up. Paulie Claybo had been talking to him, telling him about it. And he's just like, yeah, I'd love to give it. And I was just like, all of it? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh shit.
Wait a second.
That was a wild phone conversation the next week with the board members. I was like, what are we going to do? And we just made him a lifetime member.
What were the goals? I mean, you're raising money for the group, but also there was the possibility and the end goal of helping the team when it comes down to it as well. That initial board, that initial group, what were kind of the goals for Emitad in that first year?
The big goal isn't even financial or anything to deal with the money side. We just wanted to bring the older generation together because it seems like that 90s group of guys from like Chuck Forgy and Jacob Streitz and Paul Adkey and Vinny and all them guys are always doing all the grunt work, leg work, money work and all that stuff. And we needed to figure out how to get the Coach Morrell guys and then the Coach Sampson guys in with the Coach Green guys and the pre-Coach Green guys and to just create a family of cross generations.
How's that?
The biggest goal.
Do you feel like that has been going well to this point?
First year is a bit of a struggle. The younger kids, I mean, you're asking them for $500 and most of the time that's not really in the playing cards there. But I think as we go on and we start to develop and generate and they see what the money's doing and people start seeing what it's actually helping out with and how it's improving the football program and helping Samson recruit and stuff like that. Yeah. And I think it'll catch on. I mean, we're already this year, I think we got 135 members, so we're over what we did last year. Our goal is to hit 180, which we might not make, but we got a pretty good chance of hitting it.
What set that goal of 180? Was it like doubling what you had year one, or what was?
Well, we wanted to double what we did the year before. Okay. But the biggest thing is the foundation has a spreadsheet of everybody that's graduated. And there's some guys that ain't on there and are on there that did play that we know. But there's 800 plus alumni from Montana Tech that played football here at one point in time. So we figured if we can get 25% of them, which shouldn't be harder than it looks, but we should get to that goal one day.
Yeah. It feels like we're seeing a lot of faces on campus between last year and this year. That we haven't seen in a while. You know, I mean, obviously life gets away and families and jobs and takes people to all corners of the globe, but it feels like you guys are doing a good job reeling some of those people back in a little bit and getting them ingrained in the family.
Yeah, because that was one of the biggest things we talked about when they first got rolling is like when you talk to some guys, be like, hey, you should come to a game. Well, none of my other buddies are going. Like, I'd be the only one there. I don't want to go sit and watch a football game by myself. So now we got this set up to where, like, hey, you can come down.
Yep.
I mean, I got guys call me in the middle of the week, like, hey, my wife and my mother-in-law are coming. Can you hook them up? Can they be in the tailgate? Like, no problem. Yep. Send them over. We'll take care of them.
What's the highlight for you to this point? What's the one thing that makes you really happy to see?
We're successful. I think it's went really well compared to what expectations were. Mm-hmm. I think we blew it out of the water the first year and we're definitely blowing it out of the water this year. And I guess the satisfaction of it's actually working. I thought it might be a little harder to get going. I thought it'd take us 2-3 years to actually get up and running and make it successful, but it was successful right out the bat. I think we opened our doors on membership August 1st last year, and by the Copper game, we were already at $100,000 and like 50, 60 members in like 30-day period. So that's how
that's
we kind of it's kind of how we knew it was like, oh wow, like,
oh, this is a real deal.
We really might have hit gold here.
Well, and it has to feel good that it's not just the normal people, you know, because we certainly have we're incredibly lucky in the fact that we have an awful big handful of families and guys, if you will, that are always helping. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's helping with, you know, football in general, whether it's helping with scholarships, whether it's helping get a bus to go to Jackpot. We have people that are always there and willing to help, but it's great to see those new faces and roping people in, and you guys have done a phenomenal job with that.
Yeah, and that's one thing nice about Emmetag Club is you don't have to have a large checkbook to make an impact. I mean, $500, $1,000, you can get a membership, and you can make a difference, and you can be part of the movement. You don't have to write a $100,000 check or buy a $40,000 bus so we can continue to destroy it on the way to Jackpot.
Not on the way back, though. That's the key.
Yeah, it's pretty mellow on the way back.
Pretty quiet ride back.
It was pretty mellow on the way down this year. I think Vinny and Coach Sampson and Steppen probably were more wild than the bus.
It's amazing how that age change thing affects that a little bit. So give people an idea of, you know, if they're unfamiliar, talk about what – let's just focus on year one for right now. You started, you said you had $100,000 before game one. Talk about what, when people joined Emmetad, what the perks were, and then we'll talk about what those funds were used for, if you don't mind.
Well, the perks, basically everything's gifted, so we can't really advertise or whatever on the what you're going to get. We hook you up with some cool swag. Depends on what level membership. I mean, we had four different levels the first year. We did the 500, the 1,000, the 2,500, and the 5,000. And obviously, the more money you give, the more stuff you get back.
Yeah.
And I think it caught on. Like, we started making the phone calls because it was all peer-to-peer. Like, we had our 16 board members, and everybody got a list of guys to call. And we just started making phone calls, and you got mixed reviews. And some guys signed up right away. They were like, yeah, let's do that, and it sounds good. It's just some of them thought it was going to be a one-time deal, I think, but then once we got figured out what we're doing, you just got to keep pushing. I mean, some of the guys I got to call, like Charlie Amy, I think I called him 15, 16 times last year, but he's going to be late to his own funeral.
So from that year one, talk about the ways that Emmetad helped the football program and I guess the how you got to the finish line.
I think one of the biggest things that we did to help the football program last year was all the extra costs that they accumulated in the playoff game. And then, like, they had the Thanksgiving game that we've never really had before in Butte. We've never had them problems. But, like, the dining hall shuts down, and, like, we give money to all the freshmen so they could eat food and be there to practice with the team. And then some of the other stuff we helped out with the game day stuff, that's probably the biggest thing helped us win a couple games last year, was we spent $17,000 or something on iPads and stuff so we could review plays.
Yep.
Because it was the first year that you could challenge a play in the NAIA football, which I never thought you'd be able to see.
Yeah, no joke. And it paid dividends. I mean, it was a couple wins because of that, certainly.
Home opener we won because of it, because you could overturn that fumble or whatever it was.
Yep. So then from there, as you evaluated year one, what were some of the things that you really were excited to move forward with for year two, and what kind of changes happened between one and two?
So one of the big changes is we didn't expect to have as many 5,000 member levels, like memberships.
Yeah.
So when we were setting it all up to begin with, I had a cousin that's part of the Bobcats Club, and he gave me the president from the Bobcats Quarterback Club, and he's been running that for 24, 25 years. And he basically said that we only get a handful of guys that do the $10,000 one, but you put it out there so they can give it. He goes, our meat and potatoes is the $1,000 membership. And he goes, that's where 90% of our members are.
Yeah.
So this year we changed it. We put the $10,000 one out there because we had 8 or 9 $5,000 members. So why not change it and put a $10,000 one out there? If they want to give it, they want to give it. We're not going to beg you for it.
Yep.
But the other thing that we big change, or I guess we had a lot of success for, is the people look forward to is the actual banquet that we do, where we scholarship all of this year's seniors into the club to get them in, get them acclimated, show them what it's like and what they're going to be a part of. And then you get them in the first year, and hopefully we set the hook and they're in for life.
Yeah, no joke. Even if it's not immediate, you know, like I say, it's tough sledding sometimes those first couple of years out, but, you know, get a good job and get established and be part of the family and continue to be part of the family.
Maynard bribes him pretty good.
Does he really? Yeah,
he made him all Charlie Ordigger signs, nice. Which that's something he hasn't done for a few years, which when we were playing, it was a pretty big honor.
It's a big deal.
Because Maynard had to like you when we were playing to get one.
That's why I've never gotten one. Maynard doesn't like me, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
He probably just been busy and you haven't asked.
True. That's saying something. Last year with that senior class was huge. Maynard had to put some work in.
Yeah, Maynard called me 3 times that week. We were having the banquet. He goes, I'm not sure I'm going to get him done. I was like, just get what you're going to get done, Maynard, and they're understanding.
Yeah, they're going to be all right.
Sure shit, he had them all done. He had them all up there on display before I ever even made it to Butte on Friday.
Yeah, of course he did. I mean, it's just Maynard.
Sure he didn't sleep for 3 days.
No.
Plus, he's trying to get a doctor's degree.
I'm not sure Maynard sleeps much anyway. He doesn't strike me as a guy that, you know, puts his head down and gets, you know, 10, 11 hours very often.
Maybe 4 is all it cuts.
Possibly. So year 2 rolls in. What were you looking forward to this year? Like, what were the things that you were, because obviously the trailer discussion was being had for a while, and I guess that might, let's go there right now. Let's talk about Chuck Forgy and the work being done on the trailer. And I was ecstatic to be able to be down. I had to go down, and the guy that played guitar for us for the national anthem, on Copper Game Day, came down and we made sure the sound was good. And I was walking out of the football field and Forgy pulls in with the trailer. It could not have been better timing. And that thing is gorgeous.
Yeah, Tilo's did a really good job and it looks great in the tailgate. I guess we'll start from the beginning. Last year's, or the trailer that we've had for the years past, it was in due of some upkeeping, we had some money to finally put some money into it. I think the only thing they did to it in about 14 years of having it was put tires on it.
And that might have been sparing because there wasn't much done.
And Streit's offered to take it down because I guess he fabs out some trailers for work and stuff like that. He was going to pull it to Gillette and work on it for us and get it ready for this year. And Vinny stopped me at the last home game and he's just like, I'm not sure that trailer's going to be able to be pulled down there. You're probably going to have to trailer it to there. And then that kind of sparked the conversation. And me and Streit's had a pretty good conversation on what it would cost and everything that we wanted to do. And he goes, you'd probably be better off just buying a new trailer and starting over from scratch. And that's kind of where we went. And Streit's was going to do the new one for us. And then Forgy's just like MVP type material jumped in. He goes, I want to do this, and that to it to make it useful on game day. And he's had some unfortunate circumstances this summer, so he's got to pull it home again today and get it finished up. He said he should have it all the way finished up by the College of Idaho game, but he's done wonders. He's turned that trailer into pretty useful, because we don't cook out of it really, because they tried to cook out of the old one and the smoke basically just smoked you out of there. Yeah. And you had to pull everything off there anyhow, so it's basically a storage trailer to store all of our stuff.
Yeah.
And that's, Forgy's got a place to put the tables in there and latch them down, they can't move, and then we put our canopies in there, and then he's got storage totes, like you see them organized storage totes. He's got the whole front of it, there's like 30 totes and they all have a spot and they're all labeled with what's in them.
So the way I run things, as you've seen my office, I wouldn't be allowed in the trailer.
Wendy'd probably kill you. She's a safety person.
I think Wendy wants to kill me anyway, because I was really pushing for Forgy to park his truck in the fire lane in Helena the other week, and I think Wendy wanted my head on a platter, and I love her anyway.
Oh yeah. He says she's fairly safety oriented, and we were talking about stuff we needed for the home opener, and I asked him, I was just like, do we have a barbecue grill cleaner? Like the brush.
Yeah.
He goes, you don't know you're not supposed to use the metal brush anymore?
Can't,
I was just like, what?
Can't use that.
He goes, yeah, you got to use this wood thing. I was just like, whatever. Get whatever you want. He goes, oh, I know this because my wife's a safety person. I was just like, more power to you. Been using one for 30-some years. I ain't dead yet.
Yeah, so the trailer is a huge addition this year. New trailer is in. Life as we know it is good. I mean, that spot would not be the same without a trailer there.
You got to have the image.
Got to have.
It's just like when we first sent Shannon the text message to get us a design for the trailer, see what they can do, because it's all got to meet tech requirements for branding and licensing. Mm-hmm. And she sends over the first one. It's got like a quarterback and a running back and a few things like this. I was like, let's get some hogs on there and let's get Charlie Ordigger on there. And she sent it back and I was like, perfect.
That's the deal right there.
And then Forgy was even more excited because they put the O-line right on the side that everybody gets to see in the tailgate. Their running backs are on the backside.
the next conversation that was had was, you know, this year Montana Tech, as far as, you know, we're a Nike school. I guess that's the easiest way to put it. As we have changed things up and we have shifted to a Nike school this year, football, you ended up buying, Emitat has purchased jerseys for Tech football this year, correct?
Well, they won't get the jerseys until next season. Yeah. But, yeah, we're because they only got a one-year window to purchase the jerseys to get the buy one, get one. And we already told them that we wanted to help them get because I think one of the jerseys, either the copper or the whites, were getting pretty old, and they were talking about replacing them anyhow. And it's a pretty substantial cost to try to come up with, and I think it was like $25,000, $30,000 to get 100, 115 jerseys or whatever you need for game day. And then they changed to Nike and Step and said, we get a buy one, get one. Well, I was like, well, we already approved you to buy the first one. And then I was just like, he called me and we were talking about it that we had till, I think it's April, to buy the second one. And I was like, we can split it between the 2 years of funding and we should be able to sponsor the next one. And he goes, oh, cool. And then we'll make up a patch and we'll just make you the jersey sponsor. And it's actually pretty cool to see on Facebook. And then, like, I watched the Carroll game on TV and they zoom in on the player after they score a touchdown or do something. You got that Emitad patch right there when they're celebrating on the field. That makes you like, that's us. We did that.
You watch the game where, I'm sorry?
On my TV.
On the YouTube channel, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Just making sure. Sorry, I'm just giving you shit.
You weren't on ESPN, Paul.
But that's a huge investment, and again, the patch sponsorship is awesome. I mean, seeing Emitad on the jerseys is really special.
Oh yeah, and Samson hit us up last week. We had to order a few more Emitad flags. We got one flying at the trailer now, but he wants to put one up on top of the scoreboard because there's a missing spot up there, and I think we're gonna wrap the storage shed there in the south end zone too.
Okay.
So that'll have some good color to it and stuff like that. That's awesome. Really get the name out there. And that's, we were talking about yesterday, we probably didn't have to set up all four of our canopies, but it probably looks pretty good on TV for them people watching from home, and they look in the end zone when people are scoring. And you got the Emitad canopy there.
Yeah, and I really enjoy, and it's one of those where, you know, I get so caught up on everything we're doing, and every once in a while I'll look down and to see the massive people and the people in the Emitad side, and it's pretty special. You know, you look at what you guys have done in such a short time span, and you know, obviously we've had some wrinkles and some hiccups and things along the way, but for the most part, I mean, it has rolled really well. You guys have done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, it's gone way better than I expected. I think it's gone way better than anybody expected. I mean, when we started out that December and I was calling Coach Green and Vinny and Steppen and trying to figure out how we put together a board that conglomerates from, I think Doug Abbott's graduated in
1743.
Yeah, that sounds,
I think he was in that first class. I mean, we're celebrating our 125th year, and I think
he actually graduated in 1980, but he was the oldest one that we knew.
Okay.
And then we just kept going down the line. And we had a few guys that we contacted in the 80s, and they just didn't have time for it or didn't really know what it was. And then we jumped forward, and we got a pretty good contingency out of the 90s. We always do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had Chuck Forgy, Mike Schumacher, Ty Starkle, Sneaky Pete.
Yep.
Then you got the Egan sisters. We got them on board. And then
and that's saying something. When you get the Egans actually on board, that's saying something.
That might have been the most excited I've ever seen Tanner. He must not have thought he was board material, but he's Emitad board material.
Well,
we just got to keep him from going to Grizz games over Tech games.
Yeah,
but
that should be in the bylaws.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to change it, I guess. We had a hard enough time writing bylaws, getting everything in there, and taking stuff out, and we couldn't put the small stuff in there.
Joking aside, did that side of that surprise you? Was it more difficult in some ways, or were you kind of expecting the fine print?
Yeah, I'm going to say there was a few point in times there where we almost said F it, we ain't doing it.
Yeah.
We had a few conversations and we had a few hiccups and we didn't understand how hard it is to do all the political crap that comes with college stuff, like the licensing and the branding. And like, we did a new emblem this year and they put an MT on it. I mean, Hunter Sparks did it on his computer while he was working on the oil fields, and it came out pretty cool. And then we sent it up and then they're like, well, you we can't approve that because that's the old MT. And it just, it takes a while. I mean, it's a good process. It, yeah. I learned to take it with a grain of salt now. Like when I expect something to be done in 5 minutes, it just takes 5 days now.
Yeah. So moving forward, what are the goals next?
One of the biggest things Samson hit us with last year was he wanted to do it when they do the hyper renovation. He wants to make our recruiting aspect way better. So like when you walk into the locker room, you see there's like 10, 15 really nice lockers up front.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go past that and then it's all the 4 foot tall by 6 inch wide and everybody's butt cheek to butt cheek in there trying to get dressed and ready.
Yeah.
So he had a few quotes on what it would take to make them all like them front 10 or 15. And it was a little shocking to hear the 100,000 mark on that, but he wants 125 lockers. So you don't have to come in. You show that to people. It'd be a locker room to somebody expect to walk into the catch of the Grizz. Cause like when I was getting recruited, the Grizzlies were tenfold way better than the Cats as far as facilities.
Yeah.
But now it's all kind of caught up. Like I walked into the Grizzlies locker room and I was just like, oh man, this is cool. I feel like I'm in the NFL.
Yeah.
Then you walk into the Cats locker room, like this ain't much better than Stanford.
Yeah. It's amazing how things change.
Yeah. And it's just, that's the biggest thing is the recruiting these days is kids care about image.
Yeah.
And you got to pay them to come here. You got to pay for their travel and stuff. Coach Green, if you didn't show up, I guess you just weren't going to get a scholarship or you weren't going to come to Montana Tech if you couldn't get your ass here.
Yeah.
But that's just what the day and age is. It's all about image. Yep. I could only imagine if we had one set of uniform or we had a green and a white uniform and we played one helmet and one pair of pants and that's just what it was.
Yeah, there was no questioning it or anything else. It was the way it is.
Oh, yeah, it's changed a lot. So I feel like an old person now talking about how long we've been out, but
you're kind of getting to the cusp of being old. I'm not going to lie.
15 years out this year.
Okay. Does it feel that long or does it feel longer?
Depends on the day. Yeah. During season, it feels like it was forever ago. And everybody will always tell you that as soon as they're done playing football. Like, I don't miss it. I miss game day and being out there with your buddies and playing that. And I miss playing the game. But the winter conditionings and smelling this place up 5 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know how anybody ever came in and worked out after the O-line and all the hogs were in here in the mat room. That had to smell pretty good for the whole rest of the day after we got in with winter condo in there. But
yeah, probably not. Yeah.
That's the stuff you don't miss.
Yeah. So as you move forward, so locker rooms are something that is being discussed and being eyeballed for down the line.
Yeah. So when they roll out their hyper renovation that they're pushing, the foundation's raising money for, and Latke just made a pretty big donation to get her done and stuff like that. So when they do that, Samson will be able to put in all the fancy lockers.
Okay. The rest of the year, so we've got banquet. Do you have a timeline for banquet?
November 14th, the Friday night before the last home game, we'll be down at the depot. And
okay.
We'll get that all squared away, and we'll welcome in the next EMITAD class under their scholarship, and we'll have a few prizes and awards. And we're doing the wine raffle this year. Darby McKee has that winery over there, Cellar Bluffs in Spokane, and mm-hmm. he made us our own barrel and bottled her up and sent her over here, and that's what we're trying to raffle off, sell raffle tickets for.
That's incredible. And the
and then we'll draw for that. We got two prizes, one to Mexico and one to Wrigley Field for a baseball game.
Okay.
And then we'll draw for that at the banquet too.
Okay. And if people want to get in on that raffle, can they do so? Do they have to do it in person? Is it something they can do through,
if they're not going to make a game, they can hit us up on Facebook. You'll see it all over that. And then if they're making a game, just swing by the trailer. We'll have them out there. We're hoping to get them sold out so Forgy don't have to keep shuttling that wine back and forth. It ain't quite like whiskey where you can just leave it out there and it won't freeze.
Sure, you've got 180 people, or you were looking for...
We have 135,
130,
roughly.
Looking for 180.
We're trying to get to the 180 goal because that'll be about 25% of the... And you don't have to be a Tech football alumni or a past Tech football player to be in the EMITAD club. We've got several parents that have joined this year just because they want to be part of the coach's call and they want to come hang out and have a place to tailgate and have fun.
Yeah, and it is a rip. I mean, the tailgate is, to see where it is from where it started is incredible.
Oh, yeah, we served Wop Chops yesterday. No other tailgate in America got that.
Come on, that's fantastic. That's so good.
Yeah, the lady at the freeway did a nice job on it for us. It was superb. Anything we don't have to cook is always fun.
So as you move forward, anything else in the tailgate or anything related as far as things to look forward to here over the remaining home games with four left?
Not this year. I think everything's going fairly smooth. I mean, the biggest decisions we got to make moving forward now is what we're going to do for game day food and kind of dial in the beer and the water. I mean, went through 10 cases of water yesterday.
It's crazy.
The first home opener, it was rainy and cold. They went through two. So it was a different.
Little change.
I was texting Mark on a regular basis, like, hey, you got any more water? Is T-Bone running around with that golf cart? Can he swing us some
more
down?
What would we do without T-Bone on game day?
Oh, he bailed us out big yesterday. I mean, we ordered 3 and 3 to start, and I texted him about halfway through the tailgate. I was like, you want to bring us 3 and 3 more? And then about halfway through the third quarter, everybody's walking around our tailgate. Like, you guys have water? Or in the north end zone, they're like, do you have water over here? I was like, no, that's for the recruits. We have barley water. So we called our texted Mark, and he sent T-Bone down with another 3 cases. And surprisingly, it was pretty much all gone by the end of the fourth quarter.
Incredible.
Hotter than everybody thought.
Yeah, and a little bit longer game. The officials kept us around for a little while.
Yeah, they got a little handsy with their flags.
Yeah, a little bit. So it is, as a board, is there discussion about what you like about what you're doing, how to keep membership, and the idea of moving forward? Is there like a 5-year plan and things down the line?
We take it year by year, Paul.
I got you.
Yeah, there's goals down the line. I mean, eventually we'd all like to see the skyboxes and all that stuff redone, and an Emmitad club gets to pick a skybox. So like some of these prima donna quarterbacks, when we finally get them in the club, can have someplace nice and warm to watch a cold game.
Maybe if you call them something other than prima donna quarterbacks, they might be more maybe apt to join.
Oh, they know how we are. It's better than what the other guys get called.
Okay.
We can't put that on the air.
All right. Well, all right. So be it.
Maynard and Streitz came up with that club.
With the one that shall not be named, or the prima donna quarterback club?
The one that shall not be named.
All right.
If you know, you know.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
Streitz is pretty clever with some of that stuff.
He is really clever.
Yeah, I got a phone call during the middle of one of the home games. I wasn't here last year, and there was a few guys that hadn't joined yet. And Streitz and Maynard were on one. I think they had a little too many Coors Lights, or I guess they call them Mellow Yellows on the TV. Or what they said Coach Green is packing out a 30-rack of Mellow Yellow last week in Carroll. But they called me and told me they had a new club, and I was just like, only you two.
When you look at the tailgates and even our game day experience as it is right now, where do we go next for tailgate? Because it feels like we have blown the top off the thing to such an incredible degree.
I'm not sure you can really go any farther above what we have. I mean, you can always improve stuff and change a few things up, but yeah. I mean, we're going to probably need a bigger parking lot pretty soon.
Yeah.
That thing is packed. That home opener against Western, I mean, you couldn't get through the food line. I mean,
yeah.
There was just, I mean, I don't even think people could see the trailer because there was just so many people, and it was wild. I mean, 8,000 people in that small area, it's pretty packed.
I would like to know what the number was of people that didn't even come into the football field. Because we can't, I always love looking over towards you guys, you know, from the booth, because we have an unobstructed view, and the amount of people, that the sea of people that just stayed out there was incredible.
Oh, yeah. There's always them guys that stay out in the parking lot, and hell, we were even part of it yesterday. We went out there for halftime, and we were just having a good time bullshitting, and it's 27-9. We were basically dominating the game at the time, and then I turned around and looked, and I was just like, what the?
How all of a sudden, we got a 4-point ball game.
How is it 27-23? I was just like, what did we do?
Yeah.
We just spot them 14 points just to make it a game?
Well, or? I mean, you know, you've got to make things interesting ways.
Yeah. It wouldn't be Tech football if we blew them all, everybody out of the water. So
that's the truth.
So we all hustled back in there to see what was going on, and we found out the refs were kept dropping their flags.
Well, you know, being Ordigger family for the years that I have, I can't thank you guys enough. This is such a big, big deal in so many facets, to the team, to the program, to campus, to the Butte community. It has been such a big move, and, you know, to see what you guys have done in such a short time is incredibly special, and I honestly look forward to, luckily I'm on the text chain, so I get to be part of that, and that during game day is fun when I'm up in the booth and I just click, and you know, I get the message, you know, I'm like, whoa, okay, hi, how you doing? But the good you guys have done in such a short time span is staggering. And I'm really excited to see what is next for Amitad and where you take the club.
Yeah, hopefully Samson keeps it rolling. It's pretty easy to recruit members when we're 3-0.
Yeah.
Started the season off hot, beating both the rivals. I mean, it's easy to recruit guys then. Hopefully it doesn't peter out. Like, people like, oh, well, I've done this for the last 5 years, and we start to run into the five-year wall and stuff like that.
Well, and that's why I asked earlier, because
if we can keep it fresh, I guess, is what we have to do. I mean, the swag that we get or the gifts that we send, Shannon Sampson does an amazing job.
She's
helping
awesome.
Us. Yeah. In the foundation as far as basically babysitting us. I mean,
well, and her depth of knowledge. You know, she has been around this forever.
She was Joe McClafferty's assistant AD or whatever when I was going to college. So
yeah, and she knows how to, I guess she knows the rules. She knows how to get around them. She knows how to deal with them. We would be in a really bad spot without Shannon Sampson in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just, that's one of the things that helps it go so nice. Like, I ain't got time to go home and pack up boxes and mail them out and do stuff like that and make sure everybody's taken care of and got whatever. I can basically text her, call her once a week and make sure we're on page and everything's taken care of. And every once in a while, there's a few things get a little hot here and there, but we get them all lined out and figured out, and we keep on trucking.
I think you bring up a good point. I like the idea that you guys are thinking about it. Is that it you wonder where there you hope there just isn't a let off, and how you can make sure to keep everybody involved, keep everybody around. That's always going to be a struggle.
And I think the one thing, like, when we were doing getting the whole thing rolling, and I was talking to the Bobcat quarterback club president, and he was telling me about how they did things and how they progressed over the 20 some years they've been doing it. And one of the things that they didn't keep track of is like how much or how many years somebody's been a member and had different milestones and cornerstones for that. So
that's a good call.
I didn't expect to have to do it already last year, but Starkle made us all look bad by getting his company to match his $5,000 donation. So we already had a $10,000 club member, and we're going to set it up. And one of the big things in the future, try to leave him alone during season, talk about most of that stuff in the off season. But I think we're going to probably try to put in a legacy number, and then one of them is going to be what the Amitad club members can get. And Maynard will probably even put it in a pretty sweet jersey display case. Like, once you reach a 10-year or certain amount of monetary money given to the club, then we'll have a pretty sweet gift for you on the back end.
I love the idea of the legacy number. So then that creates a whole different conversation because of the depth of players and guys we're talking about here, because I'd have to think the Green guys would easily say the legacy number for Green is 23, right?
Why?
It's Green's number, right? Isn't 23, wouldn't you consider 23 Green's legacy number?
Is that what he was at Minotaur?
That's what he was at Minotaur.
Oh, that's good.
What would Michael you consider?
We've talked about it a little bit between me and Shu and Forgy, and I even talked to Samson a little bit about it. I'd want the players to pick it, but if you're going to pick out a legacy number,
that would be a fun discussion.
You got to look behind us, like, in this Hall of Fame wall, and you pick out two of the guys that were two-time All-Americans and wore the same number. I think that's what you'd kind of lean towards, and that'd be 51 for Paul Atkin, mm-hmm. J.J. Perino. Mm-hmm. But that's up to the football players and coaches.
Yeah,
I don't need to be the armchair quarterback guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, I think those discussions, I don't want to have any say in them, but I would like to listen to those discussions.
I mean, like, you got the Cats have 41, the Grizz have 37. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if Carroll, I think they might have a legacy number too.
It just feels like each, you know, and that's where we are really lucky is, you know, I mean, we're talking about three coaches now over the last 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's where we are incredibly lucky. You know, with Green, with his tenure, Morrell was with us for, you know, a dozen years, and now Coach Sampson. We are in rarefied air where we can talk about the last 40 years of our program and only be talking about three coaches.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But I, yeah. That I like the idea of the legacy number.
One of the memories I have from going to a Grizz game when I was, me and my buddy Seth went over there to take the ACT scores, and then his parents took us to a Grizz game, but everybody was walking around with a 37 jersey. So I think it'd be cool if we get it going around Tech and everybody's wearing, like, you see all the kids wanting to wear jerseys, but you just have a legacy number, and that's what everybody wants to wear because that's always going to be your stud player.
Yep.
Love it. And the beauty about 51, in my opinion, is it can be an old lineman, he can be a D lineman, he can be a linebacker, he can be a fullback.
Yep.
It's a pretty universal number.
I like 51 as well. Look at you go.
You might have a quarterback wearing it.
You didn't use any adjectives in front of quarterback. I'm proud of you.
I don't hate them all.
Just what percentage?
Oh, just the ones that are whiny.
Sorry, I'm just pushing buttons now. I apologize, Wace. But again, thanks for everything you've done. This is incredible, and I like the idea of that, like, looking forward, because you have to make sure that it doesn't stagnate and you don't lose people, and keeping people around is going to be a big, not a struggle, but it's certainly one of your battles you're going to have to look at.
Yeah, Gunnar Kaiser, one of our board members, said it best. You just got to keep it fresh.
Yeah. Yep. Well,
so, I mean, if you get the same shirt and the same T-shirt, and the same hat and the same sweatshirt every year, you're going to be like, well, want something different.
Yep.
So, I mean, we might even change it up, not even do T-shirts, hats, and sweatshirts. I mean, find some different stuff to gift on the back end to make it worth it. But, I mean, if you're doing it for the gift, I mean, like we talked about, you're doing it for all the wrong reasons.
Yes.
The whole reason we're doing this is to make Samson and Steppen's life easier on the money side, because, I mean, I know of Coach Graham before he came to Tech, and you talked to him about some of the stuff he faces and the challenges he faces, and we drank some beers before we went to Jackpot last year, and he was just like, man, I got to figure out how to get 3-4 girls up here for recruits, and I got $3,000 in my budget. And I was just like, yeah, that would be brutal.
And I'll tell you, the budgets, and I shouldn't even say that, just the costs alone. You know, I the one thing we can say is, you know, we were comparing travel costs for football in 2018 as opposed to now, and travel costs alone, this is not food, this is not hotels, nothing, this is just bus travel, the costs have tripled.
Jeez, I can't really imagine what it's like from when I played.
Yeah, I mean, that is a pretty short window. When you're looking at 7 years, costs have tripled to send teams on a bus. So that gives you an idea of what these coaches and Matt is trying to do. As our athletic director, it's staggering sometimes how difficult this is. And we're lucky to have Matt. You know, I Steppen as an AD is just phenomenal. Our coaching staff, it is a family. They get through it. They figure out how to do it as a group. But yeah, it's the costs have gone up exponentially. And you guys helping in any way you can, taking some of that burden off. Even if we're not saying you're going to write a check for the travel costs, the idea of, you know, the jerseys, the idea of feeding the freshmen, you know, that there are things that are being done that normally would have had to come out of other coffers, or we'd have tried to find a way to make it happen. And you guys are helping in incredible ways. So thank you.
So you're saying we shouldn't have accused Coach Green all them years when we were playing a gamble on the sandwich money?
No, I would still go ahead and use some of that. There's probably, some of the best stories, there is a little bit of truth and a lot of not truth.
We used to give him a lot of shit. We showed up at Eastern Oregon. I think it was the second or third game I had ever traveled.
Okay.
And we always ate, like, chow halls. Like, we just went to the other college's chow hall.
Waffles and the hot dogs?
Year? It was the cold hamburgers and hot dogs that had been out since lunch, and it's 5 o'clock in the evening. I just remember Punky Warner was just on Green's ass. The next year we went to Eastern Oregon, Coach Green just like, Punky, it's your job. It's your job to figure out where the fuck we're going to eat dinner. I'm not doing this.
You just need to give us more Green impersonations, obviously.
Oh, yeah. You have 100 of them.
Yeah, I remember it felt like that was that location for eating the chow hall was always some of the worst stories.
Oh, I don't even think a fat kid like myself, I didn't even eat it. I took like one bite of the hamburger. I was just like, holy.
I'm done.
We all went back to the hotel room and ran across to Wendy's, and that thing looked like a war store hit it.
For people that are interested in joining Emmetad, What's the easiest way to get more information, to possibly get on the Wednesday calls with Coach, be a part of everything that's going on? How can somebody join Emmitad?
The easiest way is that we got a link out underneath the foundation. You can just Google Emmitad Club under Montana Tech Foundation, pulls you up the link and join. If you have any questions, you can get a hold of me or any of the board members, Mike Schumacher, even Shannon Sampson fields a lot of calls for us, questions and stuff like that. She was telling me the other day that I think on the Copper game that there was 15 people signed up on Thursday. Because, I mean, I was giving one of my buddies, Jess Johnson, kid I played with, hadn't signed up yet. And he showed up to the tailgate, and I seen him. And I was like, hey, how's it going, Jess? What's going on? And he goes, yeah, could I get a couple game tickets? I was like, yeah, as soon as you get out of that other club. He goes, I joined on the way up the hill because I didn't want to hear it.
Well, see, there you go. It's all good.
So, yeah, this is just if you want to get a hold of me, we don't. Get some information out there. I'm pretty easy. I spend 8-10 hours a day driving across Highway 200 most days, so I got a lot of time to chat on the phone and tell you all about it. That's probably how we came up with all the most of the stuff is the window time, having time to think or whatever. Yeah,
no joke.
Because that was one thing me and Shu talked about is we had to figure out a name for it because we didn't want to do away with Touchdown Club. We just wanted people to feel like we were rebranding it and taking it in a new direction. So we came up with something. I was like, well, we can't do Quarterback Club. Everybody has one of them.
Yeah.
Touchdown Club's too original. And then I was just like, Emmitad Club. I mean, that's basically what we want. We want every man, every time, all day.
Thank you. And I was like, maybe we should have opened with that. But I did have somebody come up last week and they were like, what in the hell does Emmitad even mean? And you get so used to it that it's such part of our lives.
Yeah, I think it was born in like 1994 by one of Coach Green's captains at the time or some damn thing. I don't know the whole story. It was been on Coach Green's license plate since I've known him.
Yep. And it was his login, obviously, for his computer, I would assume. And
yeah, that wasn't real hard to hack.
No, I think LaProuse did that initially.
Yeah, there were several practices where Tyrell Wilson or a few of them guys were screwing with him, and he told them he was going to get him fired because he had to call the campus tech guy to come down and get the graphic material off his computer.
Okay. And maybe that's a story for another day.
Yeah, that's probably about all farther you can go.
Yeah, probably should leave that one alone in today's day and age.
Yeah, that's how Emmitad was born, I guess, is in the early 90s. I thought it was from Green in the day, but we yelled it every time before we took the field.
Yeah.
Everybody breaks a different way, but that was how Montana Tech breaks, and it was just a cool way to continue the legacy. We got a little bit of kickback, or I guess fight back, from a few people like, well, you're trying to bring everybody together from all different generations of different coaches. That doesn't – Emmitad don't represent Coach Morrell and Coach Sampson. I was just like, well, Coach Sampson had Emmitad on the back of their shirts when they beat the shit out of Carroll last year.
Yeah. I think it's – gone way beyond a generation. It's who we are, you know. I mean, it's a football program.
It's got a simple meaning.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Takes every man, every time.
That's
all
it.
Day.
That's why this club's successful, Wace. So good luck. I don't doubt at all you'll get to your 180. I certainly look forward to what is next for Emmitad Club and the tailgates and beyond. I love being around it and just. I'd give a shit. That is the only thing. As I continue to get older, that's all I care about. Is if somebody gives a shit, then you see it in what they do in life. You see in what they pour their heart into. That's, in my opinion, that's the biggest thing. And you guys, your give a shit is off the charts, and we are certainly better because of it. So thanks, Wace.
Yeah, and if anybody's got any suggestions or ideas, I mean, there's somebody that from a board down there. I mean, I don't think Forgy and Sneaky Pete missed a game last year.
No.
So, I mean, they're true warriors of the Saturday game tailgate. But if anybody's got any ideas or suggestions or something that they want to see or want us to do or help with, anything like that, just don't be afraid to reach out.
We're Sneaky Pete might have been the first person in the tailgate in Helena. We were setting up, and he came strolling in at like 2:30. Like, I was impressed.
Yeah, I mean, he was the first text message I got this morning on what we need to remember for the next home game. We need wheel chocks for the trailer because it was trying to fall off the block after we unhooked it.
Oh, jeez. Well, it's all a learning experience,
so
right?
I just texted him back. I was just like, I bet you lost sleep over that last night. He goes, I might have. Good news is I'll bet Forgy's already got the wheel chocks bought before he even left Butte.
Yep, I would assume. Love that dude. Thanks for everything. Can't wait to see here.
And spread the word. Hopefully this reaches in a few new members to get us to that 180.
And if you get signed up in time, you can be part of our Wednesday call with Coach Sampson.
Oh, yeah. We'll be doing MCLAR into December, right?
Darn right. Right up till national championship.
Probably even have one afterwards.
I would assume. Yeah, I would assume.
Maybe it'll be a New Year's Eve party.
That'd be lovely.
Do a live coach's
call. Do it in
person. Do a live coach's call.
Yep. Okay. Well, we'll make sure that the depot is ready for us and we'll be all right.
Got enough whiskey to talk.
Wasey Deegan, thanks for everything, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Thank you, Wace. Always one of my favorites. Again, Wasey Deegan and Emmetat. If you need more information, you can get a hold of me. You can get a hold of Wace. You can find it on Facebook or whatever the case. Emmetat just continuing to do outstanding things. And if you haven't seen the Emmetat patch on the jerseys, you just got to pay attention. It's pretty darn cool, that's for sure. And from there, we're a little bit busy up here on campus. Obviously, volleyball going full speed ahead. We have football, same thing going. But on top of that, our basketball programs got up and running this week officially. And we are going to check in with coaches. We're going to chat with players. I was pestering Hayden Deacons. Of course, senior leader and one of, if not the best player in the Frontier Conference, an incredible young man. I've been pestering him hard about coming on the podcast. So he's going to join us here as the season goes on, and look forward to that. And, we'll have some fun with it. So make sure to stay close as we'll be talking basketball. We'll be talking volleyball, football, and more here on Roll Digs, the official podcast of Montana Tech Athletics. Make sure to leave a comment, like it, share it with your friends, whatever the case is, as we continue to spread the word of Ortiger Athletics. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, take care.